What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Hot Shots. I'm Jedi, and with me always is Houdini and Deepaw. What's poppin', boys?
Jedi, we were just having this conversation about how we don't watch sporting events in public places. Mm-hmm. I don't know how people do that.
Like a bar or something? What do you mean?
Yeah, I don't get it.
I can't do it if it's my team. If it's a team, if it's just a big game that I really have no affiliation with, I could care less.
Yeah, right. If it's like March Madness.
Right.
Yeah, I'm down. But like if it's like Yanks game 7, dude, no shot. Yeah.
Steelers playoff game, there's no chance.
Yeah, no way.
Because I'm probably getting into a fight being irrationally drunk or whatever, yeah.
That's what I said. Guy says one thing about like Zibanejad, like I'm breaking a bottle over his head.
Mika.
You know what I mean?
I will say, though,
for him for game one.
Huge goals.
If I'm at a sports game at a bar, at a restaurant, and I'm with my friends, and one of my friends happens to be a fan of said team, and I have no affiliation with this, especially if my team's not even in the playoffs, I will instigate it because I do find that funny.
Oh,
I will do that. Guilty.
Did you just admit to the YouTube and to the interwebs that you're a bad sporting friend?
Just an absolute troll.
It's fun to do with your friends, especially when they're passionate about it, and you could just say anything that'll tick them off. You don't even have to say anything negative.
Note to self: never watch a live sporting event in the playoffs with Jedi.
Dude, I'll go one step further. If someone's like not a fan of my team and they want to watch the game with me in my house, I'm not doing that either.
A wise decision.
Dude, back in the day, I was never allowed to come over during playoff hockey to Dino's house.
No. Pens weren't in it, like if it was like Rangers Caps, like you're more than welcome. But if it's like Rangers Pens, dude, I'm sorry. We'll talk after the game, which we've done.
Yeah.
Like literally we've gone 7 games before never talking during the game. And then right after the game, GG's.
Yeah, GG's.
So no Rangers Cats.
I mean, that's like, I'm like so swayed because I love you, dude. You know what I mean? Like, I love you.
But I'm not gonna, hockey's a different beast, though.
Yeah, and like, I'm not going to beat your ass in my own house. You know what I mean? But like, if it's like 4-0, like Panthers, I'd probably like, you know, give you an elbow and be like,
yeah, Jake, get the hell out of here.
Yeah, it's time to get out. You know what I mean?
Like, I'm getting tired. Get the hell out.
Yeah, get out of here, dude.
Now, what if it's a 3-1 series?
3-1 series, who's winning?
We'll say the Rangers in this case.
Rangers are winning? Yeah, dude, you can stay till the end. It's fine. But like you're not but if the Rangers lose, like you're not coming back for game 6.
Yeah, or 7. Like,
good seeing you, dude. I haven't seen you in a while. Fuck out.
Back to talking sports though. Luis Arraez has been traded to the San Diego Padres for 3 prospects and a reliever. How does this shape up for the Padres? Luis Arraez is an all-star second baseman, hitting about 300 this year, and they get him on the cheaper side when you look at the type of player that he is. It doesn't really make much sense, in my opinion, for the Padres. You have Tatis there. He's playing center field now, but you also have Bogarts. You have Manny Machado. You have Kim playing shortstop, and then you also have Jake Cronensworth. So it's only like Luis Arraez is only going to go to the DH spot, but for what they got for him, how could you say no to this?
The move, I expected him to be traded to the Padres was the interesting part. Like Bogarts just moved over there. You didn't trade for him to platoon him against only righties. So it kind of surprised me. But then again, when I go back through what the Padres have tried to do the last like 5 years, it doesn't surprise me. It doesn't put them over the edge. It's not a wow, great trade. It's a solid trade for them, but it's not going to put them over the edge.
Yeah, I agree. And maybe it was just kind of one of those too good to pass up kind of things. I didn't dig into the prospects, but none of the prospects were above AA that were involved in the trade. So, you know, you're getting, you know, the batting champ from last year on a team that needs a little bit more hitting. I can't fault him for doing it. Do I think it's going to, you know, upset the balance of the NL West? No, I still don't think the Padres are going to contend. You know, after this trade happened, I did see a crazy stat that I wanted to share with you boys too. Luis Arraez's first 5 Major League Baseball seasons batted .326, .427 slugging, .806 OPS. Tony Gwynn, first 5 Major League Baseball seasons, the exact same stats of those 3, the exact same. Not saying he's going to be Tony Gwynn, best hitter of all time, in my opinion, but crazy and eerily similar when he gets traded to the Padres.
Yeah, Tony Gwynn. Fernando Tatis actually said he is the closest thing to Tony Gwynn before those stats came out too.
And it's great. And the picture that I saw too, like their batting stances are so similar too. Like I never really put two and two together, but they're almost identical.
Yeah, you know, Deepaw, you mentioned something that honestly, I thought the same thing too. We're talking about the reigning batting champ. And it wasn't like this dude hit like 313. Like this dude hit almost like 350 last year. I think it was like 343. And a lot of teams weren't interested with the Marlins said. And they actually said that his ask was so low at the time. It wasn't as high as something that they could have got in the offseason, which made me kind of surprised that why did they trade him so close now and not just wait till the deadline when a team might be desperate for a guy like that? You would have gotten so much. I mean, Luis Arraez is one of the best hitters in the league. This deal, in my opinion, doesn't make much sense to me at all. So are you surprised that other teams weren't interested for a guy like this? I mean, contact guys are a premium in this league.
Right now in the season, it doesn't surprise me. You know, like I think the sample size is kind of early for your own organization. I could see a ton of people being interested at the trade deadline. I think the Padres probably initiated the phone call and went after it and got it. But the Padres traded Woo Suk Gu. I'd love to know what he looks like. Woo Suk Go. I don't know how you pronounce it.
So, and I got something too. So what, you know, they always say like, you never take your first offer, right? So if Woo Suk Gu was the prize cornerstone of this deal, like what deal did they get that it was like a month into the season they're pulling the trigger on this trade? Like, yeah, I get it. Why not wait till the deadline? See what else you can get.
Yo, can we do we haven't done a rankings or Mount Rushmore in a while. Can we do like funniest names?
Because that's just not how you pronounce his name, I bet. That's why it's just like, dude, you're butchering this dude's name so bad to make it sound funny. And I know for a fact that's not how it is. But what's funny is that he was on the team for maybe a month because they just signed him like 3 months ago.
Find out how to pronounce his name. The spelling is Woo Suk Go. Like, I don't know what you want me to say, dude. Like, that's how I'm reading it.
Like, what? I just say like it's pronounced another way. I don't, there's no way that that's his. I don't want to say actually no way because I don't speak. I think he's from Korea. Could be mistaken. Or maybe he's from Japan. I don't know.
Yeah,
but
it's that's a typically Korean like style of naming. Yeah,
I was gonna say I think he's from Korea, and I don't speak Korean, so I don't know. But
I think that's the Americanized.
Yes. Like you're saying it's so American. That's why I keep laughing and like and giggling in the corner. But
it's even worse, dude. It's Woo Suk Go.
Like me, cross go. Dude,
Jedi, collect pronunciation. $200. It says O-O-O, suck, dash.
Oh, suck go?
Either way. Oh, suck go? Woo Suk Gu? Like.
Suku.
It could be like that. Could be really quick. Suku. Suck go.
I mean.
Oh,
suck go.
It could be really quick. We don't speak Korean here, but if anybody knows in the comments, please let us know. I would like to learn.
Well, ESPN has the Marlins getting a D- in the trade and the Padres getting like a B+. Like, I think
the Padres get an A+. We were talking about B's here. I mean, you got the reigning batting champ for literally peanuts.
Was Arias was he in a contract year? It's the only thing that would make sense out of this.
He'll be a free agent in 2026. So they have another year with him.
Wow.
The Marlins are the definition of quitters, losers, clowns, weak, spineless fools. I honestly am starting to feel bad for any fan that has purchased any sort of merchandise, a ticket, or even given their time to this ball club, because time and time again, this organization has run itself into the ground. And for what? No reason at all. This all started with firing their GM, Kim Ng, who did a phenomenal job there, transformed that ball club into a playoff team in a short window, and then they somehow dismantle this whole organization in 4 months with this new clown. Another rebuild. Last thing to talk about the Marlins. The Marlins obviously traded Luis Arraez to the Padres, but who's next? Because this team's about to go on a huge fire sale. Luis Arraez has been shipped off to the Padres for a haul of prospects. So just out of curiosity, who do you guys think is going to be the next person out? There's quite a lot of people Houdini, you said that they don't have a lot of assets, but I think that there's some players here that if they get on a little hot, bit of a hot streak, some teams might be interested at the trade deadline.
Yeah,
you have one.
Yeah, for me, it's Josh Bell. And I know he's off to a rough start. He's hitting .197, but I'll take a switch hitting first baseman any day of the week with power. I'll live with the strikeouts if the extra base hits happen. And he could be a guy that just needs a change of scenery. He's been a perennial guy of being, you know, a .240 hitter, you know, with some jacks. Like I would take that if I'm in need of, you know, a first baseman that, you know, can provide some power in the middle of the lineup.
I like that pick a lot.
I mentioned Jake Berger just a minute ago. I think he's another candidate right there. 30, 35 home run potentially, just did it last year in Chicago. Has performed and hit pretty decently since arriving to Miami too. So I think he's absolutely next on the block. And I think I'm hearing reports too. I think I saw something. Jazz is probably going to be the next one out.
You know, I think that would shock the Marlins world if they did trade the face of their franchise. The only reason I don't see this happen is because of his off-the-field issues. He's lazy. He has questionable leadership. These are all things that have been reported about him. He's also currently batting .220 with a negative WAR, so maybe someone takes a flyer on him, but they're not going to get a hefty return. I think that the Marlins think that they'll get for their big face of their franchise. I don't think that it's going to be a big haul of prospects. I think the asking price for him needs to be very low at this point. But the one guy that I want to say, Tanner Scott. He's a left-handed pitcher in their bullpen and a valuable reliever for any ball club down the road. He has a sub-3 ERA right now, and he had a sub-2.5 ERA last season. Good lefty relievers are a premium in this market, so look for him to be out on the trade block. I want to say Jesus Luzardo, and it's probably foolish of me to say no because he probably is going to be traded because it is the Marlins we're talking about here. But because he has so much controllability, I just feel like the Marlins might hold on to him to make him the centerpiece stone of this rebuild, but it wouldn't shock me at all if they trade him. But I do think that they need to definitely get something in return for him just because of how much of control that they have left of him. Not off to a great start right now, 6 ERA, but he was the talk of the offseason. The Yankees were heavy in those talks. Other teams were too. I believe the Orioles were too.
He's still in the IL. So he's got to come back and pitch a couple times to even boost any sort of value to him, but the return for him will be extremely high. Yeah, I'm telling you that right now. It will be extremely high.
It needs to be just because pitching's always a premium. He's a lefty that has something to say about it. Yeah, I just feel like, especially too, I feel like if he gets out of that Marlins scene, if he goes on a good team that has good defense, his numbers are going to improve too.
He'll get run support. Yeah, no, exactly. I'm definitely. Like I think I didn't pick him because I thought that was just the elephant in the room that eventually he'll get dealt. So, and they should deal him, to be honest with you. Your cornerstone is probably Edward Cabrera. Get rid of Luzardo and get a massive haul. But you got to get two or three MLB guys that are ready either this year or next year.
Absolutely. And then the last person, I guess, there that we haven't mentioned, Tim Anderson, off to a really bad start. I actually don't think that he gets traded. I think that he more gets DFA'd. Or maybe not because the Marlins are so bad they won't DFA him. I don't see a world where anybody wants Tim Anderson right now. Again, off the field issues, bad leadership, a troublemaker, and he sucks.
Yeah.
Not a good recipe for what you'd want for a ball club. The star of MLB, Mike Trout, underwent knee surgery for a torn meniscus. The Angels expect him to return this season, though. Now, Trout was one of the leaders in MLB in home runs, but injuries cannot get out of the way of this dude. I mean, quick question. Is he going to go down as the next Ken Griffey Jr.? Just a guy that was so talented, but injuries couldn't get out of his way.
I mean,
great analogy.
Yeah, like we've talked about this a million times. He's a generational talent when healthy. His only downfall is he's just never available, and that's a problem. He was having a remarkable start to his season. If he continued doing that, I was going to say he's probably going to get traded. Now it's like he's got to come back and be able to perform a little bit. I don't even know if he's going to be back in time for the trade deadline. There's just so many questions around it. And, you know, your best ability is your availability.
So to answer your question, Jedi, yeah, I do. I think when it's all said and done, I think he's talked about like Griffey's kind of talked about. I think Trout still hits milestones and will still get into the Hall of Fame. But there's always going to be that what if-ism. What if he didn't have all those injuries? What if he played on a contender? What if the Angels actually were able to support him? He's always going to be talked about as generational talent and as one of the best ball players during his era. But yeah, there's always going to be that the question marks for him, just like there was for Griff.
Yeah, it's really sad. And it's unfortunate that he hasn't been able to play healthy and he hasn't been able to play on a contender too. He would have made broken buku numbers, but I feel like every time he gets injured, that possibility just keeps dwindling down a little bit more every single time. How many home runs do you think he's going to end up with? Right now, he's at 378. I think that he'll probably honestly end up in the high fives, I think. Not is many. A fair. Oh, yeah.
You think he'll end up in the high fives?
I think so. Because of how long this contract is, I don't see him being the guy that's just going to be like, hang it up like A-Rod and just be like, I can't physically do it anymore. I don't think he would do that.
I think he barely gets to 500.
Wow. So you think that he gets to like basically 100 more home runs?
I was going to say 100 more is exactly what I was going to. I don't think he gets to 5, but I think he gets close.
Wow. So we have really two different perspectives on this. I totally think that he gets to 500 easy.
I mean, like a knee injury. Yeah. I think it was meniscus this time, but like, what if, you know, it's an ACL next time, he's gone for an entire year. Like that, those injuries start adding up after a while. Once you get above 30, they really start taking their toll.
That's a good point. I mean, we wish the best of luck, Trout. I hope you have a very speedy recovery because you're always awesome to see on the field, but it is unfortunate. Hopefully he gets back. He's healthy. He stays healthy.
And last thing too, boss.
No, it's all right.
I was going to say, did you guys see the interview that he had once like the news came out?
And,
man, you could just choked tell. He was just defeated. Like you can tell it's been wearing on him, and he's top five ball player even now when he's healthy, but he can't be healthy, man. I felt for him, man.
Yeah. Last thing about baseball, but this just needs to be mentioned. The Oakland Athletics are taking over the AL West. The Athletics are making a run currently where they're a 500 ball club. Who would have expected this? I mean, they have played good baseball, and it's worth noting. They split with the Yankees. They put a 20 spot on the Marlins. They took 2 out of 3 from the Orioles and the Rangers. What are the odds that the Athletics go on a run and take a wild card spot in the American League?
0%.
Okay.
0%. I'm not saying what they've done isn't. It's nothing short of miraculous. And I would give manager of the year to this guy now. But the longevity of a season, I still don't think they win 65 games.
I mean, at what point will it take for you to begin to take them seriously if they keep it up?
They gotta be less than 5 games out at the All-Star break.
So the Athletics are taking advantage of this opportunity.
And good for them, because that division sucks right now. I'm not saying it sucks, period. Like, there's a
very
lot of
mediocre, man.
Yeah, there is a lot of talent in that division. But yeah, if you're less than 5 games back from a division, that means you're probably less than 2 back from a wild card at the All-Star break. You have my attention, Oakland.
No, I think at the beginning of the year, we all picked them to be dead last in the division. They're definitely exceeding expectations right now, but it's just too early for me. I just can't see it continuing on for the whole year.
It's a little too early for me too, but it makes me excited. I did not enjoy it when they played the Yankees though, because I was like, of course, the one time when they start getting hot, they play the Yankees. NHL playoff update. So the Maple Leafs get eliminated by the Boston Bruins. Both of you, what message do you have for Leaf fans out there? It's another year of pain, misery, and suffering. It's been over 50 years since this organization has won a Stanley Cup.
Yeah, it's 6 straight Game 7 losses. It's bad, man. It's bad because they have a ton of talent. But there was a lot of stuff going on internally regarding William Nylander not really playing. Asked, are you healthy? He said yes. And then comes back. There's some internal stuff going on there. It is alarming for Leafs fans that are diehard hockey fans. I really feel bad for them. However, when you look at the remaining 8 teams, those are the best 8 teams that are left.
Yeah, it's pretty. I couldn't imagine being a Leafs fan, honestly. Like, it's a extremely popular hockey team. to have to go through what do you say, 0 for 6 in their last game sevens? I mean, just talk about brutal. And just like puck luck, if you looked at that game-winning goal from Pastrnak too, that took a crazy bounce for him to be able to even get that down at the boards. I know once it's sudden death, you know, overtime, anything can happen. But man, just one bounce one way or the other, and you know, it's different there in Leafs Nation.
I will send you the replay of Mitch Marner's effort on that play.
Please do.
And to me, that's what sums up the Leafs right now, is they're getting out-efforted by a lot of people. But like I said, you have the Stars and Avalanche, which is going to be a hell of a series. I am so glad Vegas gets bounced because of what you and I talked about last time, D-Paul, regarding the salary cap, yep. Manipulation with Mark Stone, yeah, which is bullshit. Then you have the Canucks and Oilers, which to me is an absolute banger of a series. The West is going to be really fun to watch. You have the Panthers and Bruins, which, Jedi, I know your Panthers 0-4 against the Bruins this year, but you had them last year. You know, yep. You got them last year. You're down 3-1. You came back and beat them. That series is going to be an absolute heavyweight match. Don't expect a lot of goals in that series. And then you have the Rangers and Hurricanes, obviously, which the Rangers are up 1-0. So I think those are the best 8 teams that are left. Oh, and D-Paul, I was going to tell you this. You know how like we always complain about the playoff format?
Yeah.
Ironically, the playoff format, if it was 1-8, would have been the exact same matchups this year. In the East. I didn't look at the West, but in the East, it would have been the exact same.
And I feel like that's an anomaly, though. Like it just very rarely will happen like that. And that format does need to change. Those first round matchups are just absolutely brutal.
Like, would you go play in? Would you go like a one game play in?
I've never been a fan of that. I've never been a fan of a one game set. I think if you're going to do something like that, you at least got to go 3. You got to give a chance. Just never been even with the MLB, I wasn't a fan of that when they did those one game playoffs. I hate for a long season, and especially in a tough physical sport like that too, for it to come down to, you know, one puck bounce for you to be knocked out of the playoffs.
Yeah, and then I don't know how you would determine home ice. Like, you can't, you know, right. What I mean, like, that's a little unfair as well. But yeah, Jedi, that's your NHL recap. D-Paul is kind of checked from the NHL. He, you know, the last ten games hurt him.
The Pens losing definitely hurt. Back-to-back years not making the playoffs, but I've watched a decent amount. And you've brought up the Western Conference. I feel like I've watched more Western Conference hockey this first round of the playoffs than I have Eastern. I think the winner of the Cup comes out of the Rangers-Canes matchup, though. I'm a big fan of the Canes. I'm not just saying that because they're going against Houdini's Rangers, but I think the winner of the Stanley Cup comes out of that matchup.
Oof. I'm sweating.
President of the Miami Heat, Pat Riley, calls out his players after a first-round exit, called out Tyler Hero, called him a fragile player, and then told Jimmy Butler if he isn't on the court, then he should keep his mouth shut after Butler said the Heat would have won if he was healthy. And Pat Riley almost slipped and said to keep his bleeping mouth shut. If you look at the video, he almost said it. How does this affect the team moving forward? Do you think this is going to affect Jimmy Buckets staying in Miami looking for a contract?
100%. Like the headline I read was Jimmy Butler wants the pay. Riley wants the play. Right? Jimmy Butler does have a history of injuries, and it seems like the injuries always come at the worst time. The Heat are not good. I want to make that very clear. Like, that roster's terrible. Tyler Hero's terrible. Terry Rozier didn't play worth a shit. Duncan Robinson is the most overpaid big man I've ever seen in my life. Bam is solid, but the offense doesn't flow through him. So, yeah, does he have a point? Yes, if he played, might have been different, but he didn't. So, yeah, if Jordan never retired, like, there would be no GOAT conversation. But he did. So, there's no what ifs in sports. What happened, happened. Shut your mouth. Get healthy. But if I go see him in the Summer Olympics and he's balling for Team USA this year, I'd be pissed.
I'm not surprised with it. Riley's always spoken his mind. You know, even just going back from when he was a coach, Houdini would know that with the Knickerbockers. I'm just surprised he did it immediately after. And usually the GM is trying to, you know, stay above the fray. I know Jimmy said what he said, and he's probably got a good point about it too, but Pat off the top rope, man, wasn't playing around. I think it absolutely does affect him signing there. The numbers that they're talking about for Jimmy Buckets too are ridiculous for 2 or 3 years too. We're talking like $40 million a year that he's looking to get. I just can't see that happen.
He's an older player too, which I think is kind of really worth noting for the type of money that he wants. Like, it's not like he's in his younger 30s anymore. Like, he's getting older and he has injury. He's injury prone at this point in his career.
Houdini hit the nail on the head too. It's always at the worst time with him too. He can be balling out, dropping 40 a game, dominating a series, taking it over single-handedly, winning it, and a hamstring injury pop up. Like, just bad injury timing is an absolute killer.
Now, I do have to say though that he is a beast. I mean, he was playing injured in that, who was it against? It was against the Bulls last game of the season to try to make the playoffs. Everybody knew they weren't going to beat the Celtics, but still he was, or was it the game before that? One of the games though, he played injured and he hurt himself even further. So you have to give him the respect of that, is that he's putting his body on the line for this team. And it's not like he wasn't trying.
I like Jimmy Butler, but I can see him making his way back to Philly.
Ooh.
Really? Wow. Yeah, he loves Miami, and he said it.
I get it, but Miami would have to bring somebody in to be the new Batman, and he would have to kind of take a back seat. But they're tied to some bad contracts with Hero and Duncan Robinson. But once again, when I'm looking at – even when I look at the NBA bracket, I don't really see – I didn't see an upset. I really didn't. The only series that I thought could have gone either way was the Clippers and Mavericks. I'm actually shocked the Clippers went down. But once again, when you have a star that's out for multiple games, it's hard to win a 7-game set.
Do you think that Tyler Hero is on his way out of Miami too? Because a lot of people, if you're a Heat fan right now, you're not a big fan of Tyler Hero. Kind of had enough of him at this point.
I would trade him. I wouldn't even think twice about it. I would trade him.
Yeah, they need something different. There's Spoelstra has made up for a lot of holes with that roster. I mean, even in that series last year where they were playing against Boston too, like, they're rolling out dudes I've never even heard of, and they were balling out, but you can only lean on that for so long, and I think that has finally kind of caught up to them.
What do you think about this? Do you think that Jimmy Butler has kind of, he's out of Miami now? Is Tyler Hero out? Let us know in the comments. We'll give you a shout out next time. We want to hear from you. But that'll do it all for us here at Hot Shots. Make sure to follow and subscribe at Hot Shots Podcast on all of our social platforms. But until then, we'll talk to you next time.